Before the scripture reading, I would like to read from Hosea, or as I've always pronounced it, Hosea. I'm not sure which way. I've heard it both ways. But from the book of Hosea, chapter 14, I would like to read the prophet's words concerning the fact that Israel was finally restored. Israel had turned their back on God from time to time. And this particular chapter will relate somewhat to my invitation tonight on the idea of return to the Lord. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 14, the prophet says, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifice of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hand. You are our gods, for in you the fatherless find mercy. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard and observed them. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, the righteous walk in them, but the transgressors stumble in them. On this idea of return to the Lord, I went through my library and came across one of the writers of the songs that we sing in our hymns from time to time. His name is Robert Robison, and he had been converted out of a tempestuous life of sin. It was at the age of 17 that he attended a meeting where George Whitefield was preaching. Robison and his friends went for the purpose of scoffing at the poor, deluded Methodists. However, Whitefield's strong evangelistic preaching so impressed young Robison that he was converted to Christ. It was at the age of 23 when he wrote the hymn, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing. The song contains an interesting expression in the second verse that says this, Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. This particular language in this song is taken from 1 Samuel 7 and verse 12, where the Ebenezer is a symbol of God's faithfulness. There's an expression in the third verse. Now, in our hymn for worship revised, it's been changed somewhat from what I believe the original words were used, but they have a similar meaning. But in the hymn for worship revised on page 420, the expression in the third verse says, Never let me wander from thee, never leave the God I love. This seemed to have been the character of Robertson in his later years of life. Sadly, Robertson wandered far from the faith, and like the prodigal son, he journeyed into the distant country of carnality. Until one day, when he was traveling by stagecoach and sitting beside a young woman who was engrossed with a hymn book, during this ensuing conversation, the lady turned to Robertson and asked, what he thought of the hymn she was humming. Bursting into tears, Robertson said, Madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago, and I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to enjoy the feeling that I had then. This man realized what he had done with his life. He wasted it. We can read of this particular individual in a book called 101 Hymn Stories on page 52. There's another story here that is told of a lamb that passed a pig pen each day on his way with his mother to the pasture. Watching the pigs wallow in the mud seemed like fun, and on an especially hot day, the lamb asked his mother if he could jump the fence and wallow in the cool mud. She replied, no. The lamb then asked the usual question, why? The mother just said, sheep don't wallow. That didn't satisfy the lamb. He felt that she had put him down. So as soon as his mother was out of sight, he ran to the pig pen, jumped the fence. He was soon feeling the cool mud on his feet, legs, and stomach. As he wallowed deeper and deeper in the mud, after a while, he decided he had better go back to his mother, but found that he couldn't move. He was stuck from the weight of the mud, which had gotten into his wool. His pleasure had now become his prison. He cried out and was rescued by the kindly shepherd. When cleaned and returned to the fold, the mother told him, remember, sheep don't wallow. You know, sin is like that. It looks so nice, and we think we can escape whenever we wish, but it just isn't so. Our pleasures soon become our poison. We must remember, too, Christian, don't wallow. And I believe Peter, in 2 Peter 2, gives us a very good description of what this is all about. Then the second chapter, and we won't take the time to read the verses. We'll just cover what Peter is speaking about. He gives a warning against false teachers. In verse 1 through 3, he speaks of their destructive doctrine. In verses 4 through 11, he tells of the doom of these false teachers. In verses 12 through 17, he speaks of the depravity of these false teachers. In verse 17, he summarizes this by describing them as wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, that while they promise much, they do not truly deliver on what they promise. In verses 18 through 22, he depicts the matter in which these false teachers are deceptive, beginning with the idea that they are deceptive in their methods. Verse 18, they use deceptive words, using eloquent speech that sounds impressive and promising, but lacks true substance. They actually appeal to the flesh. They are deceptive in their promise. Verse 19, they promise liberty, but they don't deliver. They promise liberty while they themselves are slaves. They are slaves of corruption, trying to promise what they don't have. In verse 20, he says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he says they are again entangled in them and overcome. And he says the latter end is worse than the beginning. Though such saving knowledge then, they had escaped but are now enslaved again. And he summarizes it all up in verse 22. It has happened to them according to the true proverb. They become like dogs, have returned to what they had gotten rid of at one point, and are like a washed sow returning to the wallowing in the mire. Sin is ugly. Sin is dirty. There are many things we must understand that are good in this life, but they are not God. At the heart of any sin, we must remember this, at the heart of any sin is setting up of someone or something else in the place of God. Sin is terrible. Sin destroys everything that it touches. Sin is an insult to God, but we understand that God is merciful and patient with us when we sin. And we know that from how God was towards the nation of Israel. He was patient with them. They sinned over and over and over from time to time. They would sin, they would come back to God. They would sin, they would come back to God. But he was patient with them. If we are to benefit from God's mercy, we must repent and obey. We understand true repentance will change us within and without. Let's not forget that time is short and uncertain. And I learned that so much from what happened to Brother Ron Daly. I've known the man for over 30 years, faithful gospel preacher, and Paul knows him too. But who would have ever thought that he would get hit by a vehicle from behind while on a riding mower? He got hit without warning. But that shows us what can happen to us in this life. That's why time can be short and uncertain. There are some things we can't control. I'm reminded of the lesson he preached Sunday evening. There are some things we can't control. Time is short and uncertain. We must do God's will and do it now. Whatever we put first in our lives, that is our God. We need to put God first in our lives. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation tonight, if you're not a Christian and you need to obey, come and obey the gospel. Repent of your sins, confess the good name of Christ, and be buried in the waters of baptism. If you've fallen from God's grace and you need to repent and be restored to faithfulness, come. We stand ready to assist you while we sing this song.